Disclaimer, this letter is a call to Christians to come out of their slumber. I correctly and succinctly explained the coming Islamic Marxist invasion and attempted takeover of America, including the globalists' Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, before the media began to lament the matter. The same is true about the Democrat Party, particularly the Biden era. Now I am, in a manner of speaking, sounding the shofar once again. Wars and rumors of war. Nations will rise against nations, and there will be famines and earthquakes. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away from the faith, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. When will these things happen, and what will be the sign of Jesus' coming, and of the end of the age? 1. When will these things happen? Look around yourself and around the world. Are you blind? Are you asleep? Why are you waiting for something that is upon you? 2. What will be the sign of Jesus' coming? Learn the parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch has become tender and sprouts its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Right at the door? Jesus spoke these words in or around AD 32. This generation he spoke about was in or around AD 32. Thus, they will hand you over to tribulation began in or around AD 32, or more factually, these events were set in motion at or around the time of Jesus' birth. Also see the testimonies of the apostles and the disciples. The malaise of the false teachings within the church today is the fatal wound from which many will not recover. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead many people. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Jesus established his church first to create a community of believers who would preach the gospel, prepare a people for the Lord, and serve as a light in the world. This community was meant to continue his teachings and fulfill God's plan for salvation. Additionally, Jesus knew and warned of what was coming, and his church would be the instrument to confront and counter the coming Antichrist, also known as the beast from the sea, the false prophet, also known as the beast from the earth, and preparation for the church to be snatched away or raptured from the earth just prior to the events of the Great Tribulation, the great and terrible day of the Lord and the wrath of the Lamb. It has been my observation that most of the church, most Christians, are woefully unprepared for what is at hand. Most Christians will say that they made a profession of faith so they are ready for Jesus' return, and are in fact looking forward to his return. I don't take issue with that, however, the Bible does not stop there. It says, 1. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved, for if the person believes resulting in righteousness, and, therefore, confesses with the mouth, it will result in their salvation. See Romans 10:9-10. 2. Jesus also says that those who belong to him have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See Galatians 5:24. 3. Jesus also says Matthew 4:19, "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people.'" 4. Matthew 8:22, "But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.'" 5. Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" 6. Matthew 19:21, "Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.'" 7. Luke 9:23 And he was saying to them all, If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. 8. John 10:27 My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 9. And it is to these who are following him he said. Upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16:13 Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It is important to understand the nuance of the language Jesus uses here. He calls Peter by name, Petros in the Greek language, which is an isolated rock or a stone as one would throw. But, the rock upon which Jesus will build his church is the word Petra, which is a huge mass of interconnected rock, a solid or native rock, rising up through the earth. This is important because Jesus is telling you, and all of his followers, about your position, your ability, your responsibility and your authority in his church. I will build my church, you and others like you, and the gates of Hades will not overpower you and others like you. I will give you and others like you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you and others like you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you and others like you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Finally, Jesus says he will give you and others like you, that is, his church, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We can pursue this as a metaphor, but, there are specific references to these keys in the scriptures. 1. The most significant is the key of David is a term found in Revelation 3:7 and Isaiah 22:22. A key indicates control or authority, therefore, having the key of David would give one control of David's domain, i.e., Jerusalem, the city of David, and the kingdom of Israel. The fact that, in Revelation 3:7 Jesus holds this key shows that he is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, the ruler of the New Jerusalem, and the Lord of the kingdom of heaven. 2. And, you, coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by people, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 6. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And the one who believes in him will not be put to shame. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. 1 Peter 2:4-7. You and I must take up our appointed positions. We must shake of the lethargy of the 21st century postmodern religion we call church and take the gospel of Jesus to the streets, the byways, the hedges and towns, into our neighborhoods, and as scriptures tell us, become the living stones, a living sacrifice. 3. It is to these that he said, Go, make disciples. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Sup greater than 19/sup Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in suppa/sup the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, sup greater than 20/sup teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Matthew 28:16-20. It is sad and shocking that the church and the Christian today has settled into a very different model and rhythm than that what Jesus taught, commanded and demonstrated. It should be at least concerning that despite Jesus and the Bible's warnings that we, the church, have bought into some romantic story about an ultimate conquest of good over evil where we will rest comfortably while the earth and its inhabitants undergo indescribable horrors of judgments and punishment. The Bible actually has a much different narrative. Meaning of following Jesus. Following Jesus involves more than just physical proximity, it signifies a transformation in one's life. Key aspects include self-denial, embracing a lifestyle that prioritizes Jesus' teachings over personal desires. Commitment, a willingness to leave behind old ways and fully engage in a life aligned with his values. Learning and imitation, actively learning from Jesus' teachings and imitating his example in daily life. Matthew 4:19, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 8:22, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Matthew 16:24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 19:21, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and come, follow me. Jesus' commands to follow me encapsulate the essence of Christian discipleship, calling individuals to a deeper relationship with Him through self-denial, commitment, and transformation. Historical interpretations of Jesus' command to follow Him emphasize that it involves transformation and commitment, requiring disciples to align their lives with His teachings and example. This call signifies a willingness to leave behind old ways and embrace a new identity centered on serving others and living out His values. Now ask yourself, how does this fit in with my efforts to follow Jesus? My Sunday morning visit to church? What do I do in response to the sermons and Sunday school lessons? Making disciples is not sitting in a church classroom taking notes on relational witnessing or some such thing. It is being led by and following the pastor and elders of the church into the harvest fields and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. Teaching in their churches, laying hands on the diseased and the sick so they will recover and casting out demons. Whether in actuality or as a metaphor for spiritual healing. The malaise of the false teachings within the church today is the fatal wound from which many will not recover. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. See Jeremiah 6:14.